Without further ado, we will hand it over to Peter Olmsted. He's the outreach advisor for the New York Department of Public Service. In that role, he's responsible for establishing and maintaining effective relationships with external stakeholders around the state regarding their groundbreaking Reforming the Energy Vision initiative, the REV initiative. And he's going to talk about what New York State and specifically Department of Public Service is doing in this area. Go ahead, Peter.
Great. Thanks so much, Victoria. Assuming that you can hear me and see my slides okay, I'll dig right in. Great. Fantastic. So, yeah, thanks again, Victoria, for that introduction, and commend you and your team at EPA for focusing on these very important issues. So appreciate all the good work you're doing on these topics. Thanks to all the participants for hanging in there, and I'm batting cleanup here, so I'll try to move through my slides pretty quickly and leave time for question and answer. So as Victoria mentioned, I'm with the New York State Department of Public Service. I'm specifically in our Office of Markets and Innovation. Our office is responsible for overseeing a lot of the clean energy programs, for instance, as well as implementing and administering the state's reforming the energy vision. So just a quick overview of the presentation. I want to sort of lay the framework with what's happening in New York today with our Reforming the Energy Vision, also known as REV. We'll hit on the New York Sun program, which is a nationally recognized solar program leading to a sustainable market for solar across the state. Third, we'll touch on our community distributed generation policy that we've recently implemented. We're calling it community distributed generation, but you could also call it shared solar, community solar. It's also not limited just to solar generation. So I'll touch on that. And then lastly, we'll round us out with some of the other commission developments or activities that impact specifically low-income solar, but more broadly, low-income electricity customers as well. So what is Reforming the Energy Vision? REV was kicked off a few years ago. It's a product of current Governor Cuomo's strategy to build a cleaner, more resilient, and affordable energy system for all New Yorkers. So we're really taking a look at how we've come to this point with our energy system and where we need to go from here to address aging infrastructure, our climate challenge, affordability issues. REV really is getting at all of it. It's a very broad and far-reaching initiative that has a lot of different pieces to it. So I'm not going to even attempt to go through the list of what REV is up to these days, but encourage you to check out the great resources we have through the state to see what's happening. But you know, really what we're looking to do through REV is a couple top-line goals. So we're looking to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 40% by 2030, and that's over 1990 levels. Through REV, we're also looking to achieve 50% renewable energy supply by 2030. And lastly, we're looking to decrease energy consumption in buildings between 2012 and 2030 by 23%. So those are some top-line, I guess, goals, you would say, targets that we have as part of the REV initiative, I think that are notable. So digging in just a little bit deeper into what REV is, it's really aiming to change the way that energy is produced, delivered, and consumed. And to do so, we're looking at things such as, you know, how do customers engage in energy decision-making today? And how does that change moving forward to help us address some of the major challenges that I noted earlier. How do they manage their energy costs? How do the different initiatives that REV comprises help customers, low-income customers, customers of all types manage their energy costs? Distributed energy resources are a huge part of REV, whether it's customer-sited renewable generation or energy efficiency, demand response. We're really looking to understand how the electricity system can be benefited by the integration and deployment of increased distributed energy resources. And at the end of the day, we're looking to drive a system that's more efficient, cleaner, and affordable for all. So New York Sun is one initiative under REV. New York Sun is a program that's been around since 2012. Governor Cuomo also initiated this large solar program, really with the aim of transforming the market here in New York for deployment of solar generation, all market segments, all applications, really implement and execute on a program that's going to deliver sustainable growth of solar over the long term. So just under $1 billion was committed a few years ago, and the program is administered through NYSERDA, the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority. So give a shout out to them for their great work on implementation of New York Sun. But we've really seen unprecedented growth over the past few years. The idea behind the large investment, upfront investment in this program was to, you know, create a trajectory and, you know, create some certainty so that customers, developers, all types of market participants could say, you know, there's a tremendous opportunity to grow solar here in New York and really understand how that can be integrated into the energy system there. So have seen massive growth, a lot of projects on the horizon. We actually have a goal of bringing 150,000 solar systems to new homes and businesses by 2020. So the current capacity is just around 525 megawatts installed. You can see roughly how many homes that's powering on an annual basis. We also have very strong job growth and employment in this sector. To Stan's point earlier about the importance of workforce development, you know, we have robust employment in the sector today, and NYSERDA is also involved with quite a bit of job training themselves. So how is New York Sun designed for low-income customers specifically? Well, in September, October of last year, through our Clean Energy Fund, which is an overarching program initiative fund, what have you, which supports a lot of NYSERDA's programs, whether that be renewables, energy efficiency, demand response. Through the Clean Energy Fund, $234.5 million were committed over the next 3 years, really to take a look at energy needs, energy opportunities in low-income customer communities. So a couple different initiatives and areas that have been supported through this and will continue to be supported in some way, shape, or form. So the Empower New York program, which is a program that offers free energy efficiency services to low-income customers with who are at 60% or lower the AMI. You've got assisted home performance with Energy Star. It's not free, low-cost option for energy efficiency services for those that are at 80% or below AMI. Green Jobs, Green New York financing, offering subsidized loan products for installation of energy efficiency measures, specifically solar as well. program administrators, NYSERDA has been looking at ways to design this program to really encourage low-income participation in it and adoption of solar. Affordable solar initiative through New York Sun, which I'll get to on the next slide, and then Solarize, which has been widely adopted here in the state and is helping to address the issue of cost and help bring costs down. So New York Sun's affordable solar program, it's really an added upfront incentive for the on-site solar installation of owner-occupied low-income households. So the New York Sun program and its design is a block incentive program. So each block in the New York Sun program has a specific amount of capacity, and there's a specific incentive designed for that capacity. The incentive is again a rebate. For the affordable solar program, for low-income customers, in this case 80% or below AMI, they will get double the incentive. So really helping to overcome, you know, the initial upfront cost barrier for low-income customers thinking about going solar. Another aspect of it, there are some energy efficiency requirements that are included. So unlike the traditional New York Sun program, this affordable solar program focused on low-income customers really, you know, put the requirement on the installers and developers to make sure they're maximizing and taking advantage of low-hanging fruit with respect to energy efficiency. So whether that's improving lighting efficiency or incorporating aerators for hot water heating, you know, there's some measures that are very cost effective, and we want to make sure that the low-income customers in New York are benefiting at the same time they're thinking about a solar investment or solar adoption, I should say. A couple other caveats, you know, there's a variety of ways to think about financing options for low-income customers. You know, it could be the Green Jobs, Green New York, could be another product. You know, we do want to see specific cost-saving requirements as part of the financing arrangement of one of these single-family systems, and whatever product they would use or whatever arrangement would be set up, we want to make sure that it's not a price escalator. So we want to make sure that, you know, when folks are going solar on day one and seeing the cost savings, they experience those moving forward. So the results. So the affordable solar program is very new. Started in October 2015. So took a little bit of time to get rolling, but we're ratcheting up. So, you know, the results here may look modest. You know, since single family solar projects completed to date, 15 projects approved. Actually, since I drafted these slides, we're up to a total of 29. So, you know, steadily making progress. I think the great potential, though, is that there's already 14 separate installers involved. So I think that speaks to all of whom have, you know, a lot of projects in the pipeline, so they say. And, you know, I think that really demonstrates that this is sort of an opportunity that the development community is seeing, is recognizing. They're getting out there more and more. So we expect the growth to continue here. So that's single-family, low-income solar. Now I'll move to community distributed generation, shared solar, which both Stan and Sean hit on earlier and went through all the barriers, all the opportunities. I do really encourage you to take a look at that slide that Sean offered on sort of the different players involved, the system, the utility, the customer, and really take a look at that and see how the different pieces work, because that is pretty critical in terms of how you would design a shared solar program. But really, this was a program that the commission adopted guess it was last year now, recognizing that the New York Sun program was fantastic, was experiencing a lot of great growth. You know, there had been great adoption of other types of customer-sided generation over the years, but the question of access and affordability, which are very much at the core of the REV initiative, there was still opportunity. So the commission really made a commitment to explore what types of policies could broaden access and affordability and complement all the other programs and initiatives under REV. So, you know, the adoption of a community distributed generation policy last year, I think, very much embodies the commitment that the commission has to low-income energy users as part of our overall REV strategy. So I'll just run through a quick overview of CDG and its specific components. So some of the requirements here, each project must have at least 10 members to participate. Those members must be located in the same utility territory and independent system operator load zone as the project. There are minimum member allocations, so you need to be using 1,000 kWh annually. Some of the other foundations, you know, there's plenty of flexibility for the subscriber to one of these systems and the developer, the sponsor, to work through what the terms and conditions are of the contracts. It's important to know, especially for low-income customers, that utility service won't be effective if the member opts out of participation or is terminated for some reason. There's also quite a bit of flexibility offered in terms of members of a community solar project altering their subscription, transferring their subscription, relinquishing that subscription, and only providing 30-day notice. So a lot of flexibility there, and I think especially for low-income customers, that flexibility can be critical. So going through our implementation process, you can see it started here back in February of last year with a staff straw proposal that was put out in February. And we really used that straw with some broad brush foundations, but also a lot of questions for stakeholders. And that was really an opportunity for us to, you know, hear from, you know, all interested stakeholders, but specifically hear from low-income customer interests that hear from them about what they would want to see out of a program. As part of the commission adoption of community distributed generation, they also directed a low-income stakeholder collaborative to really look at, again, a lot of those barriers that Sean and Stan went through and how such a program could be designed to overcome a lot of those barriers. So how this community distributed generation policy could be designed. So that kicked off in the fall. Phase one of our community distributed generation policy opened up in October of last year, really after the rulemaking had occurred and the commission had adopted an order. Then the utilities went ahead and amended their tariffs and filed their tariffs. And phase one opened up in October. We wanted to do this phased-in approach because we really wanted to take a deliberate step forward in understanding how these projects would come to fruition. So what we did for phase one is put two stipulations around phase one for qualification of projects. The first was that projects would have to have 20% or more off-takers that were low-income customers. So that was one stipulation to qualify. The second was it had to be located in one of the zones that utilities had identified as being strategic for the benefit of the grid. So that phase one has been ongoing, and the collaborative, the low-income collaborative, has been underway, and we're getting ready to take off those stipulations for phase one and open it up to the entire market. That will coincide with a report that the stakeholder collaborative has put together, again, on those low-income barriers and recommendations that they are going to offer for, you know, moving this program forward. Just quickly on the stakeholder collaborative itself, again, its charge was investigating barriers and deliberate solutions. It broke up into several working groups. I know Stan and Sean were involved with this process, and its report and recommendations will be forthcoming. I know I'm running out of time, so I'm not going to spend too much here on this slide, but this is really depicting the growth that we've seen since October of last year, the same time that the Community Distributed Generation program was launched. So, you know, the bars to take note of would be the red and the yellow, which are projects that have come into the queue. The red is representing October, and the yellow is just this March. So you can see the growth in the various service territories around the state. And then I'll just leave you with this, and unfortunately don't have a lot of time to go into too much detail here, but these are, you know, a lot of the different proceedings or developments that are happening at the Commission today that have an influence on, I think, the low-income conversation in general around energy issues, but also have implication for solar opportunity. So a couple links where you can learn more. Please follow us. There's the proceeding for community distributed generation, so you can. That's where the low-income stakeholder collaborative report will be filed along with recommendations. So feel free to reach out if you have any questions that aren't answered here today, and thanks very much.
Thank you, Peter. Great presentation, and I commend the state and your department for tackling this issue, and it's obvious that you're having success, so keep up the good work.